Acts chapter 2, we've been looking at, this is the eighth message, daily requirements for a healthy church. I have here some vitamins, some supplements, and it talks about on the back supplemental facts. It talks about things that are required and then things that are included in these vitamins, these supplements. And it tells you to take it daily. And if you do, it claims to help you. And therefore, it says, in essence, by claiming to help you, if you take them, the implication is if you don't blame them. Don't write them, don't call them, don't email them and complain if you didn't take their supplement. But in these verses, we've looked at the fact of the early church days and what God was doing to establish the church and to continue the church. And just like in the supplemental and the physical realm, the medical realm, we need daily supplements. Our body needs some things. Got to have it or we will suffer the consequences. The same way a church needs daily, a Christian needs daily certain things. And if we do not address those things and apply those things, do those things, we will suffer. We cannot complain about being unhealthy if we don't do these things. I've looked at several: purity, preaching, power, perseverance, participation, prayer, and praise. I want to look just in verse 42, sort of get into the meat of our thought this morning. We've read these verses several times. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued daily, steadfastly, regularly. They participated in these things. The apostles' doctrine, then notice, and fellowship. That word fellowship has the idea of communion or companionship. It talks about the importance of communication among the people. Now, all that I have addressed thus far has primarily been between me and God. Prayer and praise and purity and all that I have mentioned and all the prayer has been between you and God and that need. But that's not the only thing that's important for a healthy church or a healthy Christian. This thing of fellowship, could I use this word? A healthy church is a church that has peace. Peace among the brethren is so important. If you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to use a text verse there this morning for my thought. One thing that was important for the early church was their fellowship, their communion with each other. I say it's important today also. For us to get in touch with God, there must be a clear communication between Him and us. But there's another valuable asset and another valuable lesson we must face, and that is our communion with each other. Verse 3, Ephesians 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, something God's doing, in the bond of peace. That word endeavoring means to make an effort. That means it's something that does not come naturally. Communion among people and fellowship among people and getting along with each other does not come naturally. It is something the word means to make an effort. It means we're going to have to do it. Something we do on purpose. It doesn't just happen. It isn't something that comes easily. Could I mention this morning the fact of how we need peace in this church and in every church? Could I mention first this Christian fellowship, this unity of the Spirit is so important. The blessings involved with Christian fellowship. It says endeavoring. It means it's worth the while. It's worth working for. We should appreciate each other. We should not take each other for granted. You are a blessing to me. I want to be a blessing to you. We have a fellowship here. We have a family here. And how we communicate with each other is vitally important to how we get in touch with God and what He does in our church and in our lives personally. The blessings involved with the Christian fellowship. The person who says, I don't need anyone, is wrong. Because we are designed needing people. God has designed us where we need others. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are the body of Christ, which means we are members, different but connected. And just like my body, every member of my body is dependent upon another member. My fingers depend on my hand. My hand depends on my arm. My arm depends on my hand and my fingers. Every part of my body depends on another member. And so it is with the body of Christ. No member of my body can say, I don't need the rest of you. I'm fine without you. Set my finger aside. It's useless. It's no good. And beside that, not only is it useless and no good, it needs the rest of the body. I say this morning, you need other people, and other people need you. The blessings involved with Christian fellowship. That verse is, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. It means that every member is separate but united. It has the idea of sharing. We are to be connected to the Holy Spirit and yielded to Him. Every member of my body is submitted to my head. And because of my mind and my head, the body functions, hopefully, or sometimes properly. And that's how it is with the body of Christ. The blessings involved with Christian fellowship. I want to illustrate my message this morning. Brother Butch, if you'll come here, and Brother Tom, if you'll come here. I'm going to use Brother Butch this one time to represent God. He better enjoy it while he can, because it ain't going to happen again, I doubt it. And Brother Tom is a brother. He's a brother in Christ. Now, I'm talking about the blessings of Christian fellowship. We as brothers need God. I need God. My whole message thus far, 8 messages have been focused on getting help from God, praying and praise, and everything I've mentioned thus far is me getting help from Him. But this morning, I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about we. I'm talking about us. Now, this brother can be a blessing to me. He can be a blessing. Hey, Christian fellowship can bring cheer. While I'm serving God and getting help from Him and being what I'm supposed to be, this brother can help me to cheer me up, because there's times I get down. There's times I get defeated. There's times I may get discouraged. But having somebody with me builds me up and helps me. And He is aiding me to get help from my God. Christian fellowship is a blessing. There's a blessing of cheer. There's a blessing of companionship. Paul said of Aquila and Priscilla, they are my companions in the faith. It means co-laborers. And Brother Tom, my Christian fellowship, my Christian brothers and sisters in Christ can help me as I walk with the Lord. Because again, there may be times I get down and defeated, and he can encourage me. A blessing of a brother is nothing better than any. I'm telling you, it can bless us. It can help us. We are aiding each other in our walk with the Lord. Listen, we're focused on God. We're turning to Him. We're looking to Him. It's not each other we're looking at. It's God. But in the process, He is helping me. And that's the way God designed it. Christian fellowship can be a blessing. It can bring cheer. It can bring companionship. Listen, it can bring the help you need to go through the day. That's the way God designed it, that we can each other be a help and an encouragement and help each other along the way. Now, you fellas, if you will, sit down right there because I'm going to need you later. I'm talking this morning about Christian fellowship. The blessing involved with Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship brings a blessing because there's cheer and companionship. There's also confidence. I can trust my brethren to where if I get down and I have to tell him, will you please pray for me? I'm burdened. He won't go blab to everybody else. I tell you, if you got a Christian brother or sister in Christ that you can share your heart with, you have a blessing. And that's how God designed it, to where we can tell each other our burdens. We can share with somebody else as we're seeking God. As we're going after God, He gives us a brother and a sister to help us as we walk after God. The blessings involved with Christian fellowship. Could I mention number two? The burdens involved with Christian fellowship. What did that verse say in Ephesians? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Remember back in Acts where it talks about the fellowship they had? That word means sharing, but it also means benefit. But I got to thinking. Y'all stand back up. If this brother can help me when I need him because I'm struggling, I'm having problems. Hey, if there's times I need him, you know what? That also means there's going to be times he needs me. Christian fellowship ain't just a blessing. It also can be a burden. Because if I expect him to be a brother, he has a right to expect me to be a brother. I tell you, you're not here just to take, get. You're also supposed to be here to give, to share, to help, not only to get a blessing, but to be a blessing. That means, listen to me, you need somebody, but somebody needs you. And all this is involved with this. Us going after God. Us getting help from the one we need help from. Us being what we need to be for God's glory. There's the blessings of Christian fellowship, but there's also the burdens of Christian fellowship. Because there's some differences involved here. Fellowship can be a burden. I like Brother Tom just fine, which implies you. But there are differences involved. And if I'm not careful, the differences that we have between us, I will allow to be a chasm or a break between us. I will, if I'm not careful, focus so much on the differences that it hinders our fellowship. And when our fellowship is hindered, our seeking after God is going to be affected. You understand what I'm saying? This is now a team we're working with. And this team works together to go after God. And if we're not going after God, we're all going to be hindered. There's the differences involved. You and that other person are not the same. And anytime there's differences, there's the possibility of problems. And if there's a problem between us, there's going to be a problem between us and Him, our God. There's differences involved. There's disagreements involved. Sometimes I may not see eyeball to eyeball Tom at all. Now, all this is this ain't the truth. I'm just telling you the possibility of I do not agree with him. And he does not agree with me. I don't like how he does it. I don't agree with what he thinks. And if we aren't careful, our disagreements between us and somebody else will hinder our walk with God. There's a burdens. We got to learn how to get along with. Listen, we got to learn how to get along with somebody who's different than us and sometimes who disagrees with us. Listen, there's the burden of differences. There's the burdens of disagreements. There's the burden of disappointments. There may be a time, could I just reverse this to make it easier on Brother Tom, because he kind of had it hard so far this morning. I may disappoint him. I may do something wrong. I may not be living right. And he looking up to me as a friend, not just a pastor, but as a friend and a co-laborer. I let him down, and I disappoint him. And if he's not careful, him looking at me and my failure and him seeing me and my lack, it will hinder him going after God. I'm telling you, we're living among people who are as flawed as you are. People around you that you deal with every day, that you live with every day, are as broken as you. And we got to learn how to get along with broken people who will disappoint us and not let our relationship with them hinder our relationship, our fellowship of going after God. Are you getting this at all? Judas sure did disappoint Jesus. And it didn't change one bit how Jesus acted toward Judas. Ahithophel sure did let David down, and David was still a friend to Ahithophel. Look through the Bible, you'll find time after time after time where one person let another down. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be times people let you down. Don't let that disappointment be the burden that hinders you from your walk with God. Sit down again, fellas. The blessings involved with Christian fellowship. It's a blessing to be a part of the family. It's a blessing to have a friend that'll help me when I'm down. It's a blessing to have somebody to serve God with. When Jesus sent out the 70, he went and sent them out two by two because he recognized a blessing to have somebody to serve God with. You're not out there by yourself. You got a brother or sister in Christ serving God together. That's a blessing. But there's also the burdens involved with Christian fellowship. There's the danger of being hurt. What if Tom hurts me? C.S. Lewis said this, the only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all dangers of love is hell. Caring about somebody, connected to somebody, there's a danger of them hurting you. That's one of the burdens, but it's worth it. There's a danger, and as I've already said, the disagreements and the disappointments, it's difficult. We got to serve the Lord together. Could I mention number three? If you look through the Bible, if you look through the New Testament, you may be shocked to realize how much of it is written teaching us how to handle each other. Not just us and God, a lot of it is, but us and people. It must be important how we handle each other, how we get along with each other. And not only the blessings and the burdens, but the bond involved with Christian fellowship. That verse 3 of chapter 4 of Ephesians talks about the bond of peace. It literally means a ligament. It means that that connects, that that moves, that that motivates, that that makes it work. And in Christian realm, the bond is a bond of love. Of loving each other, caring for each other, 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Having compassion one of another means to care for them as so it is you. When they're hurting, you hurt like it's you hurting. When they go through battles, you go through it with them because you care. There's a bond between us and the brethren. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We're talking about loving God and getting help from God. But Jesus said, I want you to love each other just as much as you love me. There's a bond, there's a connection. One of the reasons I know I'm saved this morning is because of how I feel about Christians. I used to think you're crazy. Now I like you pretty good. You're my crowd. I love you. I love Christians. I love the Christians of this church. And that bond, that connection is something that the devil would love to sever. He said there is a connection. That connection ought to be love. In other words, you love them enough sometimes to put up with them. You love them enough to go through the disagreements. You love them enough to go through the disappointments. You love them enough to go through what they do, and sometimes it bothers you so much. Romans 12:10 says, in honor, preferring one another. In other words, put them before me. Put them before me. Romans 14:9 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. He said, we're to go after those things that make peace, that will keep love going, that which edifies. Is your heart attitude toward others? I just want to be a blessing to them. I want to help them and not hurt them. I want to help them and not hinder them. You see, again, all this is involved with us. And our fellowship and our communication and our union. The bond is the bond of love. The bond of love brings peace among the brethren. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. He says, you just well be aware. You just will not be shocked. There are going to be times that people do something, someone does something to hurt you. There's going to be times that someone does something that stabs you. And he says, and I say, how are we going to handle it? He said we are to love them and forgive them like he loved us and forgave us. Ooh. But he said it, I didn't. Could I close my thought this morning? I have mentioned the blessings and the burdens and the bond that involves Christian fellowship. I want to mention lastly the boundaries that involve Christian fellowship. The word there in verse 3 of chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians says endeavoring, which means I will try, I will do my best, but there are some limits. Okay, one more time, fellas, let's stand together. All right. The whole message has been my heart as a church member, is that I and the church go after God. If I don't go after God, if we don't go after God, if we don't get help from Him, we've had it. These are daily requirements, things we must do. Everything I need comes from God. But in the process, I am interjecting this morning exactly what the Bible does. There's somebody else involved with me in this process of going after God and getting help from God. And this person, this fellowship, these people can be a blessing. because they can encourage me and help me and assist me and help me when I'm down and pray for me when I'm struggling and love me when I need love. They can be a blessing, but also can be a burden, because if I need them, that means I am needed by them. They need me, so I need to be a blessing to others. I need to be willing to extend myself to offer, to help, to pray, to care, to share, to go, to give, to help my brothers when they're struggling. And there's a bond between us. The whole thing that keeps it together is this love that I have for them, to where in spite of our differences, in spite of our difficulties, in spite of our disagreements, I still love them anyway. But listen to me. There's also a boundary. Because the whole message, the whole thought is this: we are going after God. Now look here, as long as it's this way, we all right. As long as me and Tom's working together, going after God, asking God to bless our church, bless this work, do what He can with us and with this church, everything's all right. But look at here. Now we got a problem. Because when this brother comes between me and God, there's a problem. And when this brother, this sister, this person, this no matter who it is, comes between me and God, this is a boundary. In other words, I say, this ain't going to happen. I'm not letting anybody come between me and God, because, listen, now I can't hit help. Listen, I can't get the help I need from God because I'm focused on Him. Wonder where that comes from. You see, the whole time the devil has been fighting us of getting to God. If it's just me and God, he fights that. But listen, double it, triple it, quadruple it. If the devil can get somebody between me and God, he's already successful in his attempt. If he can get my eyes off of God and on somebody, I can't get help from God. There's a boundary. In other words, I say, excuse me, Brother Tom, sorry, I love you, but listen, if I got to make you happy and in the process make him unhappy, you just will expect on being unhappy. Right. Listen, I love you, but I love him more. Right. And I want to be a blessing, but I want to tell you, I need him more than I need you. And if you're going to be an obstacle, as much as I love you, I'm sorry, but I need God. Okay, y'all, I'm going back to your seat. Do you understand my message? There's a boundary. Listen to me. One of the biggest, listen to me. I'm telling you, the time is right for this message, and I can't even explain why, but I guarantee it is. If the devil cannot stop you in your pursuit of God with your personal life, your mental, emotional state, what he'll do is slip somebody between you and God. Some negative person, some critical person, some person that's not as committed, not as hungry, not a whatever. Hey, it may be a relationship that's not right. It may just be sitting around talking and things are more negative than positive. It may just be their attitude is more depressing than positive. And what do we do when there's somebody that's trying, or maybe not even trying, but they are coming between us and God? I said again, if the devil can't hinder your fellowship with God one way, he'll do it another. And the whole focus needs to be off of them and on him. We're talking about a church. How this church functions is, it's not me. It's not you. It's him. If this church or any church is run right or handled right or conducted right, it's not my plan or your plan. It's God's plan. It's not my will or your will, it's his will. It's not my plan or your plan, it's his plan. And if we miss that, we've had it already. There's a boundary. I'll be a blessing, and I need you to be a blessing. But if somebody comes between you and God, there comes a time when you have to realize they're hindering my walk. They're hindering my attitude. And the Bible speaks very specifically about those things. Because listen, the second I get my eyes off of God and on somebody, I'm in trouble. The second I let somebody come between me and God, we're all in trouble. So the boundaries involved. Paul said it like this: if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. He said, there's some people ain't going to do you right, ain't going to talk right, ain't going to be right. Do all you can, do all that's possible. But if they ain't going to, maybe time to walk away from them. Maybe time to set them aside. Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25, make no friendship with an angry man and a furious man shalt thou not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. He said, don't be close to anybody that's angry or not right, because if you do, you're going to take on their attitude. You're going to become like them. And he says, don't go their way. Stay away from them. You're going to be snared. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine you have learned, and avoid them. In my illustration, I love Brother Tom, and I believe he loves me. But if he comes between me and God, and you know Tom represents all of us now, he said, there's sometimes you just need to avoid them. If you're around them and they're always negative and always critical, try to change the subject. Try to make things better. Pray for them. Realize the danger. Recognize what the devil's trying to do. And after you've done everything you can to help them, if it hasn't worked, the Lord said avoid them. Because if you don't, they are going to have that nature that they're having, that criticism they have, that's going to come on you. You're going to have the same. It's going to affect you. 1 Corinthians 5:9, I wrote unto you in an epistle to not company with fornicators. Somebody doing something wrong, don't hang around that kind of person. Now, listen, Christian fellowship is a blessing. And it's a wonderful thing, but if that person is hindering you and influencing you in a negative way and drawing you away from the things of God and keeping you from getting help from God, Jesus said, the Lord said, Paul said, the Bible says, there comes a time we just have to not have company with them. 2 Thessalonians, withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly. 2 Thessalonians 3:14, if any man obey not our word by the epistles, know that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. It sounds awful cruel to break fellowship. But the fact of breaking fellowship is this, that person might see their error and get right. Bible's always that way. That's how God always is. Separation or division is never meant to hurt or to harm. It's always meant to help the offender and offended. It's important that we have friends. It's important that we have brothers and sisters in Christ. That's been my whole message for the most part, because they can aid us in getting to God and help us in our walk with the Lord. But there's something more important than me and them. That is me and him. Something more important than our Christian fellowship, and that is our fellowship with our Lord. You're important, and the people you know are important. But no one should be more important than your God. I said again, you should love them, and I hope they love you. But you shouldn't love them more than you love him. I want to be a part of the peace. One ingredient in the early church, and I'm done, was this thing of fellowship. Getting along together and walking together as they pursued God. Boy, when you got that, you got something wonderful. I rejoice in our unity here, what we have. I honestly do. And I've studied this message I've had on my mind now for 4 weeks. And I've wondered why in the world preach it. I don't know. Maybe it's a word of warning in the future. Maybe there's something in your heart and mind I hadn't been aware of. I don't know. But I know this. If we get from God what I'm talking about, we're going to have to do it together. And anyone that hinders that in your personal walk is not worth the friendship. It sounds mean, but it's a fact. Well, let's stand together. I guess I'm done.